بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Viewer, you are welcome to this week's edition of the program Light of Islam. The program Light of Islam is aimed at packaging teachings about Islam as well as clear some misconceptions about the religion. You remember in the past the four previous editions we've been talking about zina, that is adultery and fornication, a major sin in Islam. And due to time factor, even last week we couldn't wrap it up. And that is why today we intend to conclude this topic, and we are going to look at the Islamic solutions on the manners of zina. And in the studio, as usual, we have our regular guest, Dr. Muhammad Tanko Ali Baitullah, a senior lecturer with the Department of Islamic Studies, Nasarawa State University, Kefi, and the chief imam of Abu Bakr Siddiq Juma'at Mosque, Bukar Ari, Ziyar al-Lafia, as well as the chairman of Nigeria Association of Teachers of Arabic and Islamic Studies, NATAI, the Brat of Brat. Ustaz, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, Ustaz, let's refresh the memories of our viewer on the Islamic solutions of zina. You know, last week you started talking about the curative measure and that of the preventive. Can you refresh the memories of our viewers?
نعم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، I also start by welcoming our viewer with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Mala Abu Bakr, we have gone a long way in discussing this social vice called zina, and the last of it all was to talk about the Islamic provision on how to solve this problem in any given society. We have said that inferring into Quran chapter 24, that is Surah An-Nur, which is centered on discipline in the family and in the society, the solutions of zina were mentioned there, and we have classified these solutions into two. We have the preventive solutions. These are measures that the Quran prescribe and ask. If we adhere to them, we will not have zina as a general problem. Yes, you may have one or two people perpetrating zina, but it won't be that spread. It will be curtailed to the barest minimum. Then we have the curative solutions. That is, when somebody occurred into this crime, how do you cure him? What are the things to deter him from committing it again and deter others who are yet to commit or who have told themselves or thought of committing this crime? What are the deterrents that may distance them away from this? So we started talking about the preventive solutions. I said that I was able to infer generally about 12 preventive solutions from this Surah An-Nur. And we have mentioned about 5 or so in the last edition. So we will continue the list, and we will inshallah make sure that we are brief so that we conclude the series, as you have rightly mentioned. Number one, we have mentioned that instilling proper knowledge and religious training in the society. This is what the surah opens with. Surah Anzalnaha wa Faradnaha وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون. Allah told us that He has clearly explained all that we need to know to safeguard ourselves. So, knowledge of zina, its injunction, its devastating effects on individual, on the society here and in the hereafter, suffices for the people of reason to deter them or distance them away from even thinking of committing it, let alone going close to it. The second issue we mentioned, the express prohibition and declaration of zina and marital dishonesty as crimes. We have mentioned this, and this is in the subsequent verses of the surah. The Quran prescribed punishment for it. This indicates that it is zina, it is a crime. The Quran in other places states that we shouldn't even go close to perpetrating zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. The Quran also mentions that believers do not perpetrate zina. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They don't do zina. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ also said that nobody can commit zina provided he is in the state of iman. Provided his faith is with him intact, he will never perpetrate zina, knowing fully that it is a crime against Allah, against oneself, and against humanity. Number three is the prohibition of marriage to prostitutes and womanizers. The Quran mentioned this. If somebody knows that he will find nobody to marry him if he engages in this, he will naturally try to avoid it. Right. Allah says, الزَّانِ لَا يَنْكِحُ إِلَّا زَانِيَةً أَوْ مُشْرِكَ وَالزَّانِيَةُ لَا يَنْكِحُهَا إِلَّا زَانٍ أَوْ مُشْرِكَ. That a prostitute marries none, but somebody like her, a womanizer, and the vice versa. It's either they marry somebody they are common with in this, or somebody who is even worse than them, who does not even feel that zina is a crime. We have mentioned, isn't every Muslim supposed to know that zina is a crime, a major sin? It is part of what our scholars call al-ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura, what is necessarily known in religion. If you are a Muslim, you know that zina is haram. So if that is the case, it is only the worse than the perpetrator of zina is somebody who does not believe in its prohibition. That is the mushrik, the polytheist, somebody who associates partners with Allah, so he does not believe in any injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying that these are the type of people that could get married to somebody who is a committer of zina, a prostitute, for example. Only a womanizer should marry her, or a non-believer. And Allah declares that وَحُرِّمَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and such marriage is prohibited on the believers. So if anybody knows this, he will not come to zina. Number four is prohibition of defamation of character. Defamation of character, or what we call character assassination, is to accuse somebody of perpetrating zina. Mere accusation. This one is also haram, and it is even punishable with 80 lashes. If you are caught as a culprit of this, you don't have four witnesses to prove what you allege. And how can you get four witnesses who will testify in the court of law that each and every one of them had separately seen the man with the woman committing the act of zina, the act itself? Yes, practically. This is how to testify for zina. If you allege somebody is a zani, then you must provide this. Otherwise, you will be lashed 80 stripes for defaming the character of a chaste believing man or woman. So if only accusation is also punishable as a crime, then nobody will even want to be discussing or mentioning the name of zina in a healthy Muslim community, let alone even fall prey to this heinous sin. Number five is prohibition of spreading rumors and sexy materials in all media, whether traditional media or social media, whether print or electronic. Allah says, إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Those who want that rumors about nudity, just even news about nudity, should not be spread in the Muslim community. Spread of news, only news, and we need to call the attention of the newsmen. It is not anything that you hear in town that you will come and broadcast. So news about sex, about this delinquency of minors, when they perpetrate evils, these are never news to be spread. These are news to be killed in their places of occurrence. But it is very unfortunate that even pornography are shown in some medias. And then the social media, which is a lawless environment, anybody can say and spread whatever he wants to. In Islam, only good, genuine news that may help develop the environment that could be spread. If anything bad is mentioned in the news, the cure of that bad should follow. Otherwise, it should not be mentioned. And that is why many scholars also talk against what some news houses do. They will go to court, and whatever happened there, they will come and report everything. That somebody had so-so-so with his mother, or with his sister, or with that. For whose benefit? So any sexy material should not be spread, except with a deterrent. If not, just keep it and let it die natural death. How is it preventive? Because it is only when something is involved, people talk about it, that somebody may want to say, let me practice this now. What is there in it? Then Shaitan may whisper to somebody to go and do it. Then number six is prescribing of seeking permission before entering other people's dwellings. That for an adult, you don't enter into somebody's house without his permission. And even for the minors, they should be trained. They shouldn't go to anybody's house like that. The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do not enter houses that do not belong to you until you say assalamu alaikum, to salim. Not only that, after saying assalamu alaikum, you seek permission. They may answer wa alaikum assalam, but they are busy, or some of them may be half naked, or so, or they may be in a situation that it will look shameful if anybody sees the woman in that dress. She need to dress up before a stranger comes into the house. So the Quran says that you should seek permission. And if you don't get anybody in the house, when you say assalamu alaikum, maybe the house is open but nobody is there, you are not allowed to enter. فَإِلَّمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ, until a permission is given to you. Yes. There is an exception. General places, hospitals, schools, and what have you, this one you can enter because they are meant for public. Yes. Then, even if you find somebody at home, and then you seek permission, he did not grant the permission, don't say, I must enter because he is your friend or he is your relative. No. The Quran says, وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا. If they say, go back, I don't have your time now. Go back, and never you feel hurted because it is not your house and he has the right to his privacy.
Yeah.
If this is done, it will prevent the act of zina. Number 7 is the prescription of lowering of gaze in public at the opposite sex. This we all know that looking again and again on the opposite sex arouses and seduces somebody, arouses lust, and it may lead to seduction, and this may lead to some satanic arrangements which may eventually lead to zina. So the Quran prohibited this on both sexes. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. For the women too, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُضُّضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. It's for both, not only the men to do that, but both men and women should lower their gazes when they look at the opposite sex, just as when they even speak also, they should use the normal tune. They should not beautify their sounds for the people that are not closely related or they do not have a marital relationship. Number 8 is prescription of decent dressing. That a man should dress fully, a woman should also dress fully. Maybe we will talk another time on the full dressing of a Muslim woman. When everybody is dressed decently, that will not arouse any sexual attraction, you minimize the chances of zina in the society. The Quran says, قُلِّ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. And then he gives detailed prescription of that of the woman too. Number 9 is prescription of marriage. You see, marriage reduces the chances of zina. And the Quran gives it like this. The Quran did not mention age, specific age for marriage. No. Marry when you are able and there is, or you are in need of a marriage. So early marriage is welcome in Islam, provided both are able to shoulder the responsibility of the marriage. Late marriage is discouraged because when a man or a woman reaches into certain age, they need one another. So when you allow them, they will seek to gratify that sexual urge through the back door, through the unlawful ways, and that is zina. So the Quran says, وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهِ. The issue of poverty should not be a hindrance to marriage. In fact, in the modern world, the poor marry more than the rich. You understand? So nobody should say because he is poor, he will not marry. Just as poverty should not be a hindrance, also ignorance or education should also not constitute any hindrance for marriage. As there are some parents who will insist that she must graduate before he marries her out, and she will end up, or he will end up turning her into a harlot in the hostel. Because she needs man, she will look for them, and they are readily available anywhere. So marriage is one of the things that is prescribed to prevent zina, and we all know the importance of marriage. Number 10 is for those who are not able to marry. The Quran says, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If one is in that abject poverty or has anything that may incapacitate him to marry, whether a man or a woman, the Quran says that they should try as much as possible. They should zip up. They should maintain their chastity until Allah gives them way. This is Allah's instruction. Allah himself is saying, please, sorry, maintain until I give you a way out. وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ min fadli. Number 11 is that the community should help people to marry. Not that everybody should struggle. There are people who can struggle, but they may not have the wherewithal. So the rich, the government, institutions should help and assist. That is وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ. And the slaves to emancipate themselves. Number 12 is prohibition of forcing maids to prostitution. I think we talk about this. When you force a lady to prostitution, the Quran said, never you وَلَا تُكْرِهُ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ. Never force your lady directly or indirectly into the act of prostitution. In the modern day, there are ladies who commit prostitution to get school fees to go to school. They are being forced either by the society or by the parents or even by the government because of the nature of the governance we are tried with. So these are the preventive measures.
Now, listener and viewers, if you just join us, the program is Light of Islam, and we are discussing on zina, that is fornication and adultery, serious sin in Islam, with Dr. Muhammad Tanko Ali Baitillah, chairman of Natai. You've explained to us in detail the preventive measures against zina. Now, share with us the curative measures.
Yes, the curative measures also, I was able to infer four from the same surah. There are four things that were prescribed for those who commit, who have already fallen prey to this heinous social vice. Number one is that when they are caught and sued to the Sharia court, and they were found guilty, there are so many processes. And when they are found guilty, it is only then that they could be referred to as fornicators or adulterers. Before the process is this thing, anybody who accused them will be a character assassinator, and he will also be liable to punishment.
Yeah.
So when the crime is established, the Quran prescribed punishment. This is 100 lashes for those who are not married. 100 lashes in public. 100 lashes in public. Yes, in public, where people will be invited to come, and then the crime will be announced, and the punishment will be announced. You see, this will serve really as a punishment, and at the same time as a deterrent. So this is the first thing. Some people, we don't have time to delve into that, but maybe another time. Some people find this repugnant to natural justice. Which natural justice? This is the divine justice. It can be against the natural justice. Anything you think is natural, which goes against the divine injunction, is really not natural, but it is devilish. The punishment is harsh because of the level of the crime. This one is for, the harsher one is for somebody who is married, for adultery. Somebody who is married, for him, the Quran prescribed in a verse that was abrogated literally, but the injunction is retained according to the majority of the Muslim scholars. In fact, some have really narrated consensus. والشيخ والشيخة إذا زنيا فرجموهما البتة نكالا من الله والله عزيز الحكيم. That if those who are married, male or female, commit zina, you should stone them to death. So it's a capital punishment. If somebody is already married and then committed this, the only deterrent is to execute him. This is what, so this is the first thing. Please tell me, if people know that when they commit this act, this punishment will be meted against them, how many people will go and do that?
Yeah.
It cannot spread as we are saying it now. Number two is the promulgation of li'an. In a case, somebody accused his wife. How can somebody accuse his wife? with nudity. If you do that, you are also, by implication, saying something against yourself, no? But it happens. It happens, especially in this, in the modern world. So if it happens like that, the Quran prescribed what we call mutual implication. They will go to court and they will take off 5 times, each of them. The accuser will start and then the other will follow. If both of them did it, then they will be separated. They will be separated. So this one is in fact accusation, not even for the zina, because the zina is not yet established. But if somebody refused to take off, it established the zina, and then the first punishment would be meted against him or against her. Then number three is the encouragement of the culprits to repent. You see, this is one of the beauties of Islam and one of the manifestation of Allah's attribute as the most merciful and the beneficent. You will commit a crime, he will punish you because he is able. And then he will now call you back to your senses. He is ever ready to forgive you whenever you repent. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. For then, not only that, even the Muslim community are encouraged to pardon them after the punishment has been meted. Pardon them, reintegrate them into the society through so many other ways. And these are the four ways that are curative for those who fall prey into this heinous sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guard all of us against it.
Alhamdulillah, viewer, this is how far we can go on the topic zina, this adultery and fornication, a heinous sin in Islam. And we have wrapped it up on the topic. Inshallah, next week we will bring a fresh topic to discuss with Dr. Muhammad Sanko Ali Baitillah, a senior lecturer in the Department of Islamic Studies, lecturer at the University of Kefi, and chairman in Atai. Until then, inshallah, my name is Abu Bakr Abu Sayyid. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. 27.
Then there is a